WRKC is proud to present a new weekly drama, The Adventures of Harry Flynn. The Adventures of Harry Flynn is written, performed, and directed by King's students. We now present our 10th episode, The Angel.
Harry, I can't quite place it, but I know I've heard that name before. Stucci. I'm going to check out what kind of information we've got on that name at the ledger.
Thanks, Carolyn.
Thanks, Carolyn. You're the best. If he knew how hard it was to do double duty as star reporter for the Ledger and errand girl for the Harry Flynn Detective Agency, he'd be groveling at my feet. As I drove back to my oh-so-cozy bullpen desk at the Ledger, I started thinking about all I had done for Harry in these past few months. I've been putting in unpaid hours and weekends looking up information on kidnappings and crime gangs, lootings and murderers. You get the picture. I have absolutely no idea how I get my pieces done, let alone how they end up on the deadline. All I know is if it weren't for Harry always asking me for help, I could have been assistant editor in February. Wow. I just realized. I've been monologuing, haven't I? Oh well. Hi, Frank. Hello, Mitch. Hey, Paul. I made my way back to my desk through the field of burnout, boozed-up journalists they keep down in the bullpen. Each and every one of them hadn't given a damn about their jobs in years. And here I was with them. It's not because I didn't give a damn. I do. It's mainly because the editor-in-chief at the paper had a thing against female journalists. That's not entirely true. What he really had was a thing against most female workers.
Carolyn?
Yes, Bernie?
It's about time you got back, Missy. Where's that story about the black market whalers you were writing?
Black market? Oh no, I'm sorry, Bernie. Could I have a few more hours, please?
You had a few hours and you used them. Where the hell did you go anyway?
Well, Harry needed some more...
Oh, it's this Harry fella again. Every day I come over here, it's always, I'm sorry, Bernie, Harry needs me to look up info about the Colazionis. Or, oh, Bernie, I wish I could write this, but Harry called me and he needs my help and I'm sick of it!
Bernie, be reasonable.
Reasonable? If this rat Fink Flynn didn't have you, he'd be out of a job before you could blink twice. Now get to work on that whaling article.
You can see what I have to put up with. I've got Harry squeezing me for information on one side and Bernie breathing down my neck on the other. It's enough to drive a girl to drink. Or smoke. Which it has. I'm up to about a pack a day. I just hide it from Harry. Truth be told, I don't know how he hasn't figured it out by now. I got to work on the whaling article when our resident copy boy came over, a smug kid about 14 years of age. You know, he reminds me of someone, but I just can't place who.
You wanted to see me, Miss Carolyn?
Yes, Davis. I was wondering if you could go pull me all the articles and information we have on the last name Stucci. Davis?
Yeah?
Did you hear me? I asked if you could...
Oh, I heard you all right. What I didn't hear was a please.
Please go pull me those files.
You got it, Miss Carolyn.
Oh, and Davis, could you also get me related files, however seemingly unrelated? Please.
All right.
Pretentious little jerk. I got to work on the whaling article. I was writing like a whirlwind, my words probably only making sense to some mental patient out in Milwaukee. Before I knew what had transpired, I was done. I sent it up to Bernie to be edited, though in all honesty, he didn't care. To him, if I printed a great article, it would be good PR for the paper. If the article bombed, it gave him a good reason to fire me. Win-win.
Here you go, Miss Carolyn. I pulled all the articles and their source materials.
Did you find anything interesting? You didn't even look at them, did you?
Hey, don't look at me. You only told me to pull them for you, all right? I've got to go.
Hey, Davis.
What?
Could you do me one more teensy tiny favor?
What?
Could you punch yourself in the face for me? Oh, excuse me. Please punch yourself in the face. Apparently, I have been spending too much time with Harry. As Davis walked off fuming, I pulled out a Lucky and lit up. With my nicotine cravings being fixed and Davis thoroughly out of sight and out of mind, I started searching through the files. After ruffling a few dozen articles, I found a link. Unfortunately for Harry, it wasn't pretty. A number of Stuccis were on the Colazioni payroll, which in the Mafia only meant one thing. The Stuccis and the Colazionis were related. Harry had gotten himself involved with the Mafia. Again, I kept looking. Apparently the mafiosi would strong-arm local high schools' administrations into having their children be the class valedictorians, so they wouldn't have to pay as much for college. I had a hunch it didn't end there, so I headed down to the precinct to talk to Officer Spinelli. Officer Spinelli, I was... Oh.
Okay, one more time. If you don't have the cards I ask for, you say go fit... Oh, Carolyn, I didn't hear you come in.
Little did Harry know, I had as strong of a rapport with Spinelli as he did. Hell, mine was probably stronger. I interviewed him a few years ago when he was a rookie cop, and he's been giving me insider information ever since.
Hey there, darling. How would you like to help me fish?
That's it. I need a breather. Look, keep him occupied, will you?
Hey, girly, I'm talking to you. I said...
Call me girly one more time and I'll beat you with your own nightstick.
Jeez, can a guy talk to a girl anymore?
Oh, I don't mind if you talk to girls at all. I'm a woman.
Ooh, this kitty has claws. Come here, girly girl. Ugh.
What? I told him.
Okay, I feel better. Whoa, what happened to Brody?
He was harassing me, so I gave him what for. Do you mind if I smoke in here?
Oh, not at all. What do you need?
Could I review all of your files on the Colazioni crime family?
Why? You running another story on him?
No, Harry's gotten himself in deep this time.
All right, let me go get those for you.
Another couple of hours and a half a pack of cigarettes chalked up to helping Harry Flynn. He's shortening my lifespan and he doesn't even know it. I pored over all the records, and as I did, I learned absolutely everything about the Colazionis. A list of their clean businesses, and all properties they owned, all their rackets, which the police almost had enough evidence to take down, and the overall map of their family, among other, more interesting things. I noticed that Giovanni Colazioni's consigliere was named Giuseppe Stucci. I knew enough about Italian names to translate it. Joseph. Joseph Stucci. Mind you, this was a man of 73, and could in no way be this Joey Stucci in question, but there was a high percentage he was a relation of some kind. A little more poking around it all came together. Joey Stucci, Theodore Roosevelt High's false valedictorian, was the grandson of Giovanni Colazioni's consigliere.
Well, what'd you find?
I'll tell you about it later. I've got to call Harry and see if he hasn't gotten himself in too deep yet. Thanks again.
You're good for you.
I raced back to the office to try to call Harry for a half hour. There was no answer. I stayed there despite it all. I had nodded off when I finally heard my phone start to ring. Hello?
Carolyn, you're never going to believe this. I'm back at the high school, and Giovanni Colazioni and his mob are behind the valedictorian scandal.
I know. I researched the Stuccis. They're cousins of the Colazionis. I told him everything I had found out about the whole valedictorian affair.
All right. I'm going to try to slip out of here. Thanks a lot for your...
Ugh. Good one, Vito.
Harry?
Should I hang up the phone?
Yes, you moron.
Okay.
Harry! Damn it!
We'll return for the exciting conclusion of The Angel, but first, a word from our sponsor.
Hi, I'm Harry Flynn. Oh, wait. Is it on?
Just go by the script.
I didn't write a script.
Just talk, we're rolling.
Hi, I'm Harry Flynn, Private Eye. Do you have cases you need solved? By people who are really good at solving cases? Well, I'm Harry Flynn, and I'm a detective. I'll solve your cases really quickly because I'm good at it. Damn good at it. Even really hard cases. Can we start over? I sound like an idiot.
You're live. Keep going.
If you're worried about your wife cheating, I'm the man you're looking for. I mean, I'll find the man you've been thinking about. I mean, Deborah?
At the Harry Flynn Detective Agency, you'll be treated with respect regardless of the case. No case is too big or too small.
Yeah, we've done everything from petty theft to murder.
Mr. Flynn, let me handle this. What he means is we've caught thieves and murderers. You're just a single phone call away from a crime-free future. We work hand-in-hand with the city's finest to bring your cases to a close with finesse and discretion. Just call us at 1-800-FLYNN-PI. That's 1-800-FLYNN-PI.
There, are we done?
Don't forget your customers.
Exactly, we don't forget about our customers.
Quiet, Mr. Flynn. Don't just take our word for it. Ask our customers.
I hired Harry to hunt down a rare book, lost to the sands of time, detailing the death rituals of an ancient society. After spending 4 days searching through temples in Mexico, he stopped by the local library and picked up a copy for me. He even paid my bill when I handed it in late. Thanks, Harry.
You're welcome. But, Deborah, I don't think I actually did that.
Shh! Where's the next customer?
We didn't think we'd need more than one.
Quit calling the commercial announcer!
With the Harry Flynn Detective Agency, no rock will go unturned and no crime will go unsolved. He'll get to the bottom of it like he'll get to the bottom of a fine bottle of gin. Ha 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 ha. Trained by the famous and successful Charlie and Jack Flynn, Harry's the best PI you can get. If you call now, you can take advantage of a limited time offer that'll leave you shocked and gasping. Yes, it's our strangulation and electrocution doubleheader murder special. Bring in two murder cases with different murder weapons and we'll cut your price in half. Not available in all states or for high-profile cases. Call within the next 5 minutes and Harry won't be drunk yet. That's 1-800-FLYNN-PI. Call 1-800-FLYNN-PI now.
Has it stopped recording yet?
We now return to the exciting conclusion of The Adventures of Harry Flynn.
After a couple of seconds, I hung up the phone. I took out a cigarette and with shaky fingers lit it, or tried to light it. After 3 tries, I put it away. This wasn't the first time Harry got into trouble, but with the Colazioni family, it could be the last. I grabbed my coat and started to pull it on as I quickly dialed Harry's office.
Harry Flynn Detective Agency, how can I help you?
Deborah, this is Carolyn.
Oh, I'm sorry, Harry isn't here right now. Do you want me to leave a message for him? He should be back soon.
He's not coming back. The Colazioni's nabbed him.
Oh, no. What happened?
No time to explain right now, but I need you to go into his office.
Give me a second. I think the code will reach. All right, what do you need?
He has files on the Colazioni's. Do you have them?
Give me a second. They're in here.
Giovanni's button man could be there any moment. We don't know what he'll do.
All right, found him.
You need to bring them to the police. Then if things go wrong, they'll have that. Maybe they can use it as a bargaining chip.
What should I do?
Go home. Leave the door unlocked. I'm going to stop by the office and pick up a couple of things. I've got your number if I need to get in touch with you.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to find him.
Good luck. I can't be looking for a job in this market.
I got off the phone with Deborah and tore through the newsroom to get...
Carolyn!
Damn. I turned to see my angry imp of an editor-in-chief charging at me with my submitted article clenched in his fist. His face and neck were red as the most brazen of drunks, and the nerve in his forehead looked like it was fit to burst.
You give me the steaming pile of garbage and you leave work early?
Bernie, I can explain.
You're beyond explaining. You've taken advantage of my good nature one too many times.
Harry's in.
Harry, again! Get back to your seat right now, you miserable cretin. Never again will I hire a woman to do a man's job. You should be a housewife in the kitchen with... Iota, I'm good. You're never...
I left Bernie sputtering there and quickly got to my car to go check out Giovanni Colazioni's properties. After all, if I didn't save Harry, I'd have thrown away a promising career for nothing, and Harry will owe me a big one for this. I went through the list of possibilities quickly in my mind. They wouldn't have taken him to Colazione's fine Italian restaurant. That would be too obvious. The poetic place would have been the warehouse Harry almost caught Giovanni, but it burned to the ground. On the way to my first stop, a little pizza joint called Julian's, where an undercover officer was working as a waitress. I stopped by Harry's office and found the 35 he keeps in his desk. I stuck it in my purse and sped to Julian's, where I parked and quickly found myself a table.
Hey, welcome to Julian's. Waiting for someone, or should I get a slice for you?
No, I'm here to talk to a friend of mine. She's a waitress named Bernadette.
Well, she's on break, so you'll just have to get a slice or get out.
All right. Bring me a slice of cheese and tell her that it's Carolyn and it's urgent. 5 minutes later, a tall, well-built brunette came in with a slice of greasy pizza and a suspicious look. She put the pizza down in front of me and then sat down to lean forward and whisper to me.
You wanted to talk at me?
It's all right. I know why you're working here.
Yeah, I got a couple of kids to take care of. What's it to you?
A mutual friend who wears a blue coat told me your second job.
Name?
Spinelli.
All right, talk.
Have you seen anyone dragged in here? Probably coming in through the back?
No, they never keep anyone here. Too risky. Mostly they run gambling out of here.
Where do they take people for working over?
Are you going to go there?
I have to.
Then I'm not telling you. It's too dangerous for one person.
Hey, can I get some service over here?
Keep your pants on, I'm coming. You'll never make it out alive. Someone was caught snooping around here last month and Giovanni had his best man rub him out.
Aw, come on, lady, I ain't got all freaking day.
What's all the shouting about, eh? In my restaurant, people aren't left waiting while women chatter over meaningless garbage.
I'll be right there, Mr. Julian.
Not right there, you get there now!
I need to know the address, please.
47 West Cherry. It's a steel mill near the docks. If you circle around the back, there's a wooden door. Knock four times like this.
Bernadette, now or you're fired!
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Good luck. Fine, I'm coming. Don't get your apron in a twist.
I paid for the untouched pizza slice and went back out to my car. I'd wasted too much time already and couldn't afford to take any more. It was a miracle that I survived and wasn't pulled over, especially the way my hands were shaking. I pulled up next to the factory and walked around, ignoring catcalls from the workers. There were a couple of doors down the back wall, but only one of them was made of wood, so I knocked on it.
Come in!
A large man in a security uniform opened the door and eyed me suspiciously. In his hands was a loaded shotgun. It was the first time I'd looked down one, and it made me more than a little nervous about my decision. Damn you, Harry.
Don't think I've seen you here before. Who are you?
Suddenly my mind went blank. I wasn't about to tell him my own name and let Giovanni Colazioni know who I was. Just come up with a good name, and whatever you do, don't say Carolyn or mention the ledger. I'm Caroline Leger. I'm here at Mr. Colazioni's direction.
Oh, why didn't you say so in the first place?
I did say so in the first place.
Huh, so you did. All right, come inside.
He hung the shotgun from a peg in the wall, and I stepped inside to see a neat little office with a table and a pot of coffee. Not exactly the trappings one usually associates with the family business, but secure. As the door closed behind me, I saw that it wasn't wooden, but thick metal with a covering. Seeing all this polished steel around me made me think of something that might add nicely to the decor. Hands above your head! Now! I grabbed Harry's piece and pointed at the guard. From this distance, there was no way I could miss, but I wasn't about to kill a man in cold blood.
You! What is this?
Hands up now! Away from the hook! Do you have the keys to that door?
No, there's no outside lock. Look, I got a wife and kids back home. I don't want any trouble.
Did a dark-haired man with a head wound get dragged in here within the last 2 hours?
Yeah, Vinny and Vito tied him up downstairs and left. Swear on my mother's grave.
Open the door slowly and step outside. I kept the gun on him as we moved slowly outside. As the door shut and latched firmly behind him, he made some sort of sound in protest. I grabbed the shotgun and pushed the heavy table up against the door, before taking the stairs three at a time to get to where Harry was being kept. True to the guard's word, I found him tied to a chair against the wall. Harry! He looked like hell. These Vinny and Vito creeps didn't just tie him up. They beat him. His hair on the right side of his head was matted with blood, and bruises were blossoming all over his face. I quickly ran over to him and tried to wake him up. Oh, Harry, say something, please!
I felt something soft touch my face that sent a burn of pain through me. I heard. Everywhere. Someone was talking to me. An angel talking to me.
I found a pulse and breathed a sigh of relief. He wasn't dead. Quickly, I tried to take an inventory of his injuries, trying to figure out if he would be able to move. The knock to the head that had put him under looked really bad. Other than that, it didn't look dangerously serious. His right eye blackened, a badly split lip, and other small injuries. As I untied his arms, I realized that his left one had been broken and hung uselessly at his side.
More pain flooded into me at a touch to my temples. More talking. Who's it talking to me? Why can't I move my hands? Burning. All up my arm. Never hurt this bad before. Just let go. Slip away.
Harry, you need to listen to me. Wake up, please. Slowly, painfully, his left eye opened and his lips started to move.
Carolyn? It wasn't an angel after all. Carolyn looked a wreck with worry. Tears had worked through her makeup and her hair was a mess. Looked like she'd been running all day. But she still looked beautiful.
Oh, Harry, you're alive. We've got to get you out of here. Can you walk?
Carolyn, I need to tell you.
Ah, looks like the great Harry Flynn brought himself a bit of company. No matter. Vito, Vinny, make sure they aren't set to refuse our hospitality.
I turned to see Giovanni Colazioni, flanked by two men who could only be Vito and Vinny, coming forward with pistols in hand. Behind the three of them was a shape like a man, but far too tall, far too broad of a shoulder. Like some sort of mutated, destructive giant just waiting in the shadows.
Damn.
This has been The Adventures of Harry Flynn, presented by WRKC. This week's episode, The Angel, was written by Lucas Tomasacci and Brandon Leon Gambetta. Our cast today was Elizabeth Williams as Carolyn, Brandon Leon Gambetta as Harry Flynn and Guard, Brandy George as Deborah, Waitress, and Bernadette, Drake Nestor as Davis, Vito, Julian, and Commercial Announcer, Mark Zurich as Brody, Vinny, Intellectual, and Pizza Patron, and Lucas Tomasacci as Announcer, Bernie, Spinelli, Director, and Giovanni Colazione. If you'd like to write or perform in The Adventures of Harry Flynn, find us on Facebook. Tune in for the exciting conclusion of the season finale of The Adventures of Harry Flynn.